Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, giving you some more Christmas stories today. I have a poem here which I've put in my Christmas card a number of years, and it is a poem that I like to read every single Christmas. I don't know of a more beautiful expression of the incarnation. Some of you children may not know the meaning of the word incarnation, but it comes from Latin words meaning in the flesh. In other words, in the human body. You know, God is spirit. But the time came in God's plan when He sent His Son into the world to become an ordinary man with flesh and blood and bones and muscles. But that ordinary man had to come in to this world just the way every other baby comes in. He had a mother, and he was born. And you remember where he was born, don't you? He was born in a stable, and he was laid in a manger for a bed. These words were written back in the 17th century by Richard Crashaw. That the great angel-blinding light should shrink his blaze to shine in a poor shepherd's eye. That the unmeasured God so low should sink as prisoner in a few poor rags to lie. That from his mother's breast he milk should drink, who feeds with nectar heaven's fair family. That a vile manger his low bed should prove, who in a throne of stars thunders above. That he whom the sun serves should faintly peep through clouds of infant flesh. That he, the old eternal word, should be a child and weep. That he who made the fire should fear the cold. That heaven's high majesty his court should keep in a clay cottage by each blast controlled. That glory's self should serve our griefs and fears, and free eternity submit to years. Let our overwhelming wonder be. I have also here a letter from one of our listeners from Kentucky. She says, having just shared with a young prison friend an account of how we have had Christmas, and thinking of your daughter sharing in theirs, I thought some of our ideas might be nice to pass along. We had 9 children, though 2 of them went to heaven young. One was stillborn, 1 was 4 and a half. So Christmas was a busy, hectic time at our house. One year we got tired of the exhaustion of shopping, tree, church programs, cards, etc., and we made the decision to change to something quieter. After one usual Christmas, we told the children that the next year we would make a big thing of each of their birthdays. But when Christmas came, we would only give gifts to Jesus. That made sense to the children. And by the end of the year, after each had had his or her special day, they felt no jealousy that Jesus got all the presents on his birthday. My husband made a little modern-style barn in proportion to the Christmas figures that we already had. So you look in the door or the window to see them. It's complete with a hayloft, a small light in the ceiling that gives a soft glow. At first, we wrapped little gifts and laid them around the manger. Then the kids began each year to make a tiny Christmas tree of evergreens stuck in clay and decorate it. And we'd place Jesus' gifts under the little tree just outside the barn. Each gift would be a folded-up piece of paper describing a gift to Jesus. A package to a prisoner, money sent to a mission, or something else. Christmas Eve, we always had candles, sang carols until the children fell asleep. Later, we couldn't sing them to sleep anymore, and we came to have the children's guitars and dulcimer and flutes to add to the evening music, which expanded from just carols to worship music. We'd have half the Christmas story from Matthew, Christmas Eve, and the other half from Luke on Christmas morning. We'd end Christmas Eve with cookies when the kids got older. Christmas morning, our young children would be as excited at being able to open Jesus' presents as if the presents had been their own. After singing and the rest of the story, we'd start with the youngest child opening one gift. We'd read it and pray briefly for whoever that gift had been given to. The kids were aware of Matthew 25:40, which says, "If you have done it for one of the least of these my brothers," Jesus said, "you have done it for me." We didn't put how much the gift was or necessarily who it was from. Nothing to glorify us. Just like a money order sent to Jay, a prison friend. There were unexpected touches sometimes, as when a neighbor child had added a gift. "I give you me, Jesus." Or the year our quiet older son indicated that he had supported 5 native missionaries through a mission that year. We had not known about that. After a good lunch that day with all the trimmings, as befits a celebration, we usually had birthday cake and ice cream that evening for Jesus. Or, I guess sometimes we had that on Christmas Eve. As the children grew up, married, and moved away, it became harder and harder to get together for birthday parties. So we began to change back, get together once a year for family gifts. But we still incorporate most of the old traditions, too, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. New family traditions emerge and become fun. A new one, 3 years old now, is that all the girls that can now, this year there are 6 daughters, daughters-in-law, and granddaughters, gather the day after Thanksgiving to make Christmas wreaths. I'm blessed to have the family I do. I thought that was a lovely alternative, and for some of you families who are getting a little tired of all the stress of activity and Christmas plays and shopping and wrapping presents and trying to keep up with all the things that everybody else says we must keep up with at Christmas time, maybe you'd like to think about that. Giving your children a really special day on their birthday, and the family gives gifts on that day, of course. But saving Christmas for gifts for Jesus. And you can think of many ways to give a gift to Jesus. Maybe the children would want to volunteer to help a neighbor lady, to rake the yard, shovel the snow, to help the lady in the housework. This lady's idea, the one who wrote the letter, she said they helped prisoners, and one sent money to missions. You might even want to give a gift to Jesus by saying that you would help your mother or your father around the house, or that you promise to pick up your clothes instead of dropping them, or to put away your toys. That could be a Christmas promise, which I believe would please Jesus very much. Do you remember why Jesus came into the world? He came so that we would know what God is really like. He took the body of a man. He grew up as a little child. He was a little child. Did you ever stop to think about that? He was a baby. He cried. He drank from his mother's breast. He had to wear diapers. When he was growing up, he was a little child, and he fell down and skinned his knees, I have no doubt. He went through all the sorrows that you go through as a child. There were probably playmates in his neighborhood. Maybe some of them didn't really like him. Maybe some of them turned away from him. We really don't know much of anything about the first 30 years of Jesus' life. But we do know that he was obedient to his parents. That was one of the ways in which he showed that he was God. The best thing that children can do to please God is to be obedient to their parents, to be cheerful around the house, even in those times when you don't feel cheerful. And I remember what those times are like, and I can remember being very grumpy when I was a child sometimes. You know what my mother would do? She would send us into a little pantry room, and she would say, "Now, I want you to stay there until you find a happy face." Well, sometimes I would be so angry, it would take me quite a while to find a happy face. But I knew that I wasn't supposed to come out until I did. The Bible tells us that we are to be cheerful, that we are to do our work gladly and thankfully. I can't imagine a better present that you could make to the Lord Jesus than to give him yourself. If you were a shepherd, you would give a lamb. If you were a wise man, you would do your part. What can you give him? Give him your heart. Tell him you want to belong to him. May the Lord help us to have a Christmas which will honor him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.